Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Live life at your pace. Click the banner or go to visitwilliamsburg.com to discover how. Because here in Williamsburg, life moves at one pace, yours. Scramble through our world-class golf courses or shop your way through the square. Be one with nature as you hike or bike through our parks and trails or hunker down at one of our breweries. And when it's time to eat, be sure to bite into our eclectic food scene. It's all waiting for you in Williamsburg. Book your trip today and live life at your pace.
Five. My cut for the show.
Paul Brown Stadium gets a new name as the Bengals get ready for some big contracts. Meanwhile, John Sheeran still hasn't received a 21st century contract from D&H Sports, but he still brings his A game every week. Dr. Hoji the Electric Smoji plays the game of politics at the Citizens Climate Lobby in Scotland, which means he's still not here again. And Daddy-O Mustache McDuke plays the game of exploitation in a search for the most aesthetic intern in the world. But most importantly, the Bengals Director of Communication is right here for an exclusive interview on the number one Bengals podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
Intros are getting better and better.
Thank you, they are. Yeah, thank you. Welcome to the number one Bengals podcast. You can find us on D&H Sports on YouTube. You can find us, the number one Bengals podcast, on Believe, on all the different podcast things. I'm talking about your Apple phones, your iTunes, your all those things. And, of course, on Brinks.tv. But I first want to introduce my two co-hosts, Johnny Mathis Sheeran. And the other one, I know, was gone for a while, and I kind of forgot what... Brigantia Jancaster, everybody. Yeah, welcome to the show.
Bridget Jankers. There you
yes.
Go.
All right, look, let us get right to it. So, Brinks.tv. Actually, we have a very special guest. We're going to talk about that very soon. And in anticipation of that, I want to talk about a debunked conspiracy. So on Brinks.tv, there's a lot of great shows. My favorite is Conspiracy Now. And one of the conspiracies they had in the past was about why they don't have a practice stadium for the Bengals. And the conspiracy was that it's actually because there are worm-like monsters, like the Rancors from Star Wars, that they're living under there and that they are not potty trained. And I actually recently went to Lot A or Lot 1 for a Bengals practice. As you can see, I got my football signed by Chris Evans. I shaved my mustache, so he thought I was a kid. But the point is, the not being potty trained part was convincing in Lot A, but the conspiracy has been debunked because they are building practice stadium. We're going to talk about that later. But we also want to emphasize that we want you to tell your friends about D&H Sports. Referrals are a great, great way of us expanding our reach. All right, so how are you two doing today?
Doing okay, except are we going to get sued by Disney for that Star Wars reference?
You know what? Yeah, Courtney, can you just cut that out before this goes live? But, you know, I want to talk about, a lot of people are supporting our show. And it's interesting, Courtney, if you could pull up some of the fan art. Now, we have a fan, and his name is Tony Manira. And look at this. Look at this beautiful art. Because as you know, we are trying to create some merch. We're trying to create some images of us and some logos. And he volunteered his work. Can we go to the next one, please?
I'm shocked we have a fan.
Yeah, and so there you see, it is very creative. It is me and Hoji. We are riding around in the golf carts in Paul Brown Stadium.
Oh, those are that's a baby carriage.
Yeah. And the next one, please. Look at that. That's Ken Anderson. I'm interviewing Ken Anderson. And Hude is playing defense on Hoji. Beautiful, beautiful.
I think that's an actual tiger. I don't think that's the mascot. I think Hoji's actually getting attacked by the very thing he's trying to protect right now.
Can we go to the next one, please, Courtney? And there you go. So there you have, I like this one. This one is, you have me, I'm making an announcement. You have Hoji, who is playing with the tiger. You have the brown elf running away. You have the raven. And you have Steely the Beam, or Beamy the Steel, whatever his name is. McBeam, Steely McBeam. You have him. He was mauled by the tiger. Really creative, beautiful artwork. And yeah, you can give us your opinion, what you want to see on our logos, on our t-shirts, and that kind of a stuff. All right. So I want to bring in our guest, but first I want to give a little introduction. So as you know, the Bengals took a giant step forward last year. They went in a new direction, fantastic direction. They elevated the team and the franchise in every single way. And the person who is communicating and facilitating that direction, the director of communications, Emily Parker, was on our show a year ago. And we talked about a lot of the issues that people had with the fans. And she responded to each one articulately and intelligently and convinced the entire fan base of the direction of the team. And now, a year later, she looks like a genius. She has turned around the franchise and she is back on our show. Everybody, I want you to welcome Emily Parker to the show.
I feel like we need an applause.
Yeah, there we go.
We do.
I'm holding back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So Emily, I am a little starstruck now that the team is doing so well and you were at the forefront of that. And we had Ben Baby on the show. And we had him on the show before the Bengals were the greatest team in the NFL. And it was a little bit different. You know, he had a little bit of a glow to him. It was intimidating, because as you know, he's been a lot of requests. He's been asked to be on Dancing with the Stars. He, you know, received the honorary PhD from University of Northern Texas. And it's a lot of different accolades. How has your life been changed in the past, you know, let's say 4 or 5 months? No, wait, February. So yeah, 6, 7 months.
Well, I'll even go back further. It basically started in November of last year, because that's when the playoff run kind of started to come to fruition as we were fighting for a playoff berth. And then obviously making the playoffs, into the playoffs, and then on the Super Bowl run. And so it's been wild. It's been a great experience. It's been a lot of work. We had a very short off season. So within, you know, 10 days to 2 weeks after the Super Bowl, we were back at the combine, and before you knew it, it was free agency and the draft. And so it's been a wild ride. And here we are again in training camp with our first preseason game on Friday.
Yeah. Well, it is wild. And I know that, you know, as regimes kind of, they solidify their power, their messaging changes. And I want to know, what do you want us to communicate? Because we have a powerful platform here. What do you want us to now communicate to the fan base? Before, it was believe in the process, believe in Zach Taylor's vision, the culture. I'm not going to say, you know, I'm a mouthpiece or whatever, but I do like the access. I do want to be there doing the interviews on the field. What do I need to say? What do I need to communicate to our viewership?
I mean, I think you can see it across all three phases. If we have one of the most dynamic offenses led by Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon, we're excited to add Hayden Hurst in our new offensive line. Then you go to the defense, and every single phase of the defense, from the line to the linebackers to the secondary, are just tremendous. And they get along so well, and they're just really good without anybody necessarily feeling like they're true, like, star power, but they're just solid players that are among the best at each of their positions. And then, of course, when you look at special teams, Evan McPherson is heading into his second year, but is as young and dynamic as you can get as a kicker. And so I think when you've got so many different players to root for, both on the field as well as their personalities off the field, it's just a fun team to watch. And I think that's why, while winning is obviously what we're all setting out to do, I think what made last year so special was the way that we were winning and how much fun the team was to watch and root for. And that's what we're excited to bring back, is many of those same guys are back this year, and we're excited to do it again.
Yeah, are you guys getting...
I think I got that all, yeah. I wrote it down.
Do I get to ask questions too?
Yeah.
My lot? I just finished, Emily, before coming on, the Pivot podcast episode with Ryan Clark, which was super fun to watch. Just that wide receiver trio, you can see the relationship and that, I mean, they're not competitive. There's that uncompetitive nature that makes them so united and powerful. But is the front office getting a lot of requests for media and interviews? Like, does that look different than what it's been in years past? And is media really excited to like tap into this relationship kind of machine that this team has that maybe hasn't been there before?
Yeah, so we've had more national media come through training camp than ever before. And I think it's kind of a combination of things. I think many of the national writers got back on the road this year after 2 years that were kind of altered due to COVID. There's more platforms as media continues to grow with, you know, podcasts like your own, as well as the introduction of I Am Athlete and the Pivot podcast heading on the road. And then obviously just the nature of where we are with the team and the excitement around it. And so every day we have national media. Tomorrow we'll have NFL Network here. Mike Garofolo and Sean O'Hare will be here. They're going to interview Evan McPherson about 4:30 tomorrow after practice. And so it's a lot to keep track of. And every day I'm like, who's coming? Do I have them on the right security list? Who do they want to talk to? Have I reminded the coaches and players that they've got this media? But it's obviously very exciting, and we're trying to lean into it as much as we can, because obviously we felt how much the community here in Cincinnati rallied around the team this past year, and we really want to bring that excitement to a much broader audience. And so we are really trying our best to show the national media that we're a fun team to root for, and that there's a lot of good storylines for them to cover this year.
Love it. I wear my Bengals gear, whether it was at the draft or just when I travel around the country, like the number of people that come up to me and say, I was rooting for the Bengals in the Super Bowl, or I'm like a new fan of the Houdé Nation. It's really cool to see the reach that we're getting.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, if John doesn't have any initial questions, we can move on to the next topic. John?
I actually did real quick.
Okay.
Just because I remember when we were talking about the uniform reveal and the so-called leak, let's call it. Now this year, when you had the alternate helmet unveiled officially, like, was that process a little bit less pressure filled because most fans kind of knew what the helmet was going to look like, if it was going to go in that direction? Or how was that in any way different compared to unveiling like a whole entire new uniform, just design and everything?
Yeah, I mean, throughout this process, we've had almost everything leak. So with our big announcement today, outside of a Twitter handle, to shout out to Joski Broski, who had the news yesterday at 5:07, and I had to sit tight and hope that it didn't break any further than that until this morning. But, you know, we've experienced many leaks along the way. And with the white helmet and the alternate helmets, especially because that was a league-wide initiative, so there were some things that were automatically going to be out of our control tied to that. But we knew that most people knew, especially with all of the great social media people who do all of the mock-ups, they knew what the helmet was going to look like. And so we wanted to have some fun with it. And in some ways, we had to change our plans a little bit. And we, as with everything, sometimes are responsible for helping to put out some of the leaks. And we had had an event on the morning we were planning to initially reveal that we were wearing the white helmets. And we had to do a last minute change because we got a sponsor associated with the content. And so we changed our release plans, but because there was media at the event, it got out. And so I think one of the things that has made our social platform so popular is our ability to have fun and be self-aware. And so, you know, when the news was kind of out there that we were going to have a second helmet, we were able to have fun with it in the process. And, we've seen a lot of engagement. Our posts around the white helmet have just been tremendously well received by fans. And so sometimes you just got to have fun with it, even if you don't always control the timing of the leaks.
So you're saying Swift Meats just swiftly came in there, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yes, and they have gotten a lot of bang for their buck because that social content has gone crazy. And so they definitely have gotten everything worth of that sponsorship and then some.
Talking about the leaks, Emily, I just want you to know that if you have a rat, you need to sniff him out. I do have a guy. If you have a snitch, if someone is leaking these things, you know, and ruining the momentum that you're trying to build, just let me know. Yeah, we can communicate after the show. Okay.
No.
So let us move on to the next topic. We're going to talk about the new stadium name. And I had to look this up, Emily. What is Pacor? It is a major U.S.-based fabricator and distributor of thermal and acoustical insulation products. And one thinks, what does that have to do with football? What does that have to do? You know, how much money, how much of this distributor are they selling? And then I looked, and they have a mortgage branch, the outstanding resource for mortgaging, financing, and conventional Junker FHA loans and VA and something else. I can't read the rest. And it is crazy.
The worst researched podcast in the history of podcasts.
So I guess I'm wondering, obviously, they have a lot of money. They do a lot of things. But how did this happen? That they ended up being the sponsor of the stadium.
Yeah, so we've had a partnership with Pacor since 2018, and as we were starting to look at and explore naming rights, we put out some feelers with some of our current partners, and really it started back in March, and the conversations took off from there as they immediately expressed interest. And, you know, for us, it was very important to partner with a company that our brands aligned. And because we already had some familiarity with them, we knew that there was an alignment there. And then the fact that they're a local company on the rise, you know, I think we share a lot of similarities in both of us wanting to kind of get that broader national attention. They went public a year ago. And so they're trying to get they're trying to grow their business. And I think that this is just a great message to the Cincinnati business community of two big brands in Cincinnati that are partnering together to try and raise the profile of the Cincinnati business community and just show how great of a city and community that we have here.
And so what is their business? Just so I can get some money off this too.
They're an HR business. They're our official HR, exclusive HR provider. And so every time that, you know, that we get paid and I approve my interns' time cards, it's all been through Pacor. So I've been very familiar with their products for many years because it's how we do our payroll here. But, you know, they've got a great operation where they work with small to medium-sized businesses just to help with those human capital management services across the country.
So this makes a lot of sense.
You have to approve the time cards. You do realize that, right?
I think that HR is powerful enough, if you ask me. I think HR is out of control, and a lot of this human trafficking that we are talking about, I've heard a lot of bad things, and I don't approve of.
Not
this.
Even close to the same or thing, the Emily. I was curious though, because I feel like the consensus of the fans was on board with changing the name from Paul Brown Stadium, but I feel like an even greater proportion of the fan base would have preferred that Paul Brown Stadium would have remained in the new name, be like Pacor Field at Paul Brown Stadium. Was that conversation ever had in these negotiations, or was it never really part of it when you guys started this whole thing?
Yeah, I think it was important for us for the stadium to have a clear identity. And so that's why we wanted it to be a straight naming rights deal versus trying to incorporate two things into the name. And so we really achieved that. It's, you know, for me, I've known about this for a couple of weeks and, you know, in terms of that the deal was getting close and going to happen. And so I've been, in my mind, calling it Pacor Stadium for a couple of weeks now. It really rolls off the tongue. And I think it's something that, you know, as we start to integrate their brand as early as Friday and in the coming weeks and months, that fans will come to adapt. And yes, there still are going to be many ways that we recognize and honor Paul Brown. You know, some of those have already taken effect with the Ring of Honor, with his name in the jerseys, We have a Paul Brown Coaching Excellence Award that we give out every year to high school football coach. We last year redid one of the conference rooms here, which is the room that you see every time we do a player signing. That is the Paul Brown conference room, which has some images, some quotes, some memorabilia in the room. So there's stuff that we are doing and will continue to do to honor Paul. But I think in this move, it made the most sense to have a clear identity with the stadium. And that's what we were going for.
So let me ask you something, Emily, because you talked about how we want to maximize the profitability of this and not keep Paul Brown the stadium in there. Can we talk numbers here? How much are we getting from Paycor? And is that going to go back to the fans, or are we going to have to pay more? You know what I mean?
So, Paycor, no, yeah. No financial terms have been disclosed or will be disclosed at this time. So I don't have any breaking news for you on that front.
So it sounds like this is another thing that you don't want to be leaked. And I got to say, when you said that you've known about this for a couple of weeks and nobody tweeted it, it sounds like you found your rat. That's what I'm hearing.
Yep. No, it's been something that we all have kept very close, and a very small group of people knew that this was happening. And obviously we were able to pull it off this morning, because we knew as soon as the name got out there, you know, it spreads like wildfire. So it was important for us to be able to unveil it as kind of a planned messaging with Paycor aligned. And so luckily we were able to accomplish that this morning.
Well, my condolences to the family of the rat. Go ahead.
I'm just disappointed my campaign of one for Fiona the Hippo Stadium failed.
I don't think Fiona's got that money, unfortunately.
Really? It would have been nice. A lot of people said Jungle Gyms. That would have been fantastic. Love that place, but yeah.
Fiona the Hippo, that's a draw. So, okay, moving on.
Let us move on to the official depth charts. And I guess here's the question, Emily. Joe Burrow, we had a discussion about the appendix and what it is. And there's a little bit of debate in the medical community on this show about what it is. I said it is the little cheat sheet that the quarterback has on his wrist, and he took it off because he knows the playbook. John is a lot more concerned. The thing is, Joe Burrow is now, he is using a cart to get around, and he's throwing the ball very gently. I have preseason games tickets that Bridget gave me for Friday.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'm getting the feeling that Joe Burrow is not going to be in that game. The question is, what are we going to do? Because look, they have an outstanding receiving core. Brandon Allen has been in the system for a few years. But if Joe Burrow is not going to be there at the beginning of the season with our Super Bowl aspirations, is there a chance we get a veteran quarterback? I mean, you look at the Jets, they get a Joe Flacco for nothing, you know, and he's competitive enough to where he can fill in, you know. Is there a chance we go out there? Or are we rolling with Brandon Allen? You know, let's go Brandon Allen.
Oh.
Yeah.
We still have a month to go before the season, so we have a long ways to go. And I think everybody that was out of practice the other day saw the progress Joe's making, and I think we'll be seeing him very soon. But we don't want to put the pressure on him to rush anything. And so I think that's why we don't want to put a timetable on anything. We're just going to allow him to go through the process. And when he's back, he's back. But the good news is we still have over a month until week one.
I'm glad you said the word pressure, though, real quick, because with Joe, he said it himself that he doesn't love to do like media things. I think he's been on maybe a handful of podcasts since he's been with the Bengals, but obviously he does like the press conferences and some interviews and whatnot. Just in your experience with him, how is he like handling that stuff and like being open to it? Because it does seem like he's kind of more low key.
Yeah. I mean, he's all about football. So he understands that he's the starting quarterback and does the things that he needs to do, which every week includes a press conference after the game, his Wednesday press conference, a production meeting. And then usually we have one big interview that he does every week during the regular season. Sometimes it's tied to the network that's broadcasting the game. Sometimes it's a different request, but we really, and it's a thing that we focused on since we brought him in 2020, is we want him to focus on football. We are who we are because of him. And we recognize that. And so You know, he's willing to do the bigger media when we ask him, but we really try as the PR people to prioritize the requests that we take to him, to just really get the most kind of bang for our buck for when we put him out there. But I think it adds to kind of the mystique around Joe is, you know, he doesn't do that many interviews. So when he does them, people listen and pay attention and like to hear what he has to say, because he does do a great job with media. But I think, you know, for us, the priority is the football team. And so we really try and limit the distractions. And that includes media sometimes.
Well, I you said bigger media. I mean, how much bigger does it get than number one, right? Number one Bengals podcast. No, but I would say this. And he wants to talk football. Who better to talk football with than John Sheeran? I'm just saying it for Joe's sake. Because no, he went to that steakhouse and he talked to those frat boys. And I don't feel like they were at his level. I don't feel like they were ready for the conversation that John Sheeran can have. Just maybe Joe, you know, maybe just pass that along to him, bring him on the show.
If you're like, I gotta keep it all equal, do you have a player on the team that you're like always most excited or most interested in putting in front of the camera or the microphone?
Well, I'm going to give Jamar a shout out, and it's because with Joe not being available for media these past couple of weeks, as we have had so many national media come to town, Jamar has stepped up in so many ways, is literally said yes to every single interview we've put in front of him. And he's talked to Peter King and Pete Prisco and NFL Network and Jonathan Jones, and literally the list goes on and on. And he's been tremendous. And I think that goes back to all three of the wide receivers are so great to work with. For as big of stars as they are so humble and easy to you know, just talk to and have do all of the media requests and all of that that comes with being star wide receivers. So we are very lucky from that standpoint that we do not have major divas. And especially knowing that that position group has such high attention to them, the amount of media requests that we bring to them, they've all been awesome to work with. But I've got to give a special shout out to Jamar, because he really has stepped up these past couple of weeks with a bigger media load than most.
So Jamar says yes to everything. I got that. I wrote that down. let us move on to Bengals brand. And basically, honestly, okay, Emily, you look at this team. They were a player or two away from winning the Super Bowl. And, you know, they were just hitting their peak. You know, I mean, they were playing better and better as the season progressed. And they're so young. And they have all these guys under contract, except Jesse Bates. I don't know if he's going to play this year or not. If you could communicate that or no. No, I guess not. We'll move on.
We're very hopeful.
I'm
very hopeful to see Jesse very soon.
I looked at that depth chart. And when I saw Jesse Bates' name there, and next, you know, there's also Dax Hill and Von Bell, and then you see Cam Taylor-Britt backing up Eli Apple, and then you look at Joseph Asai added to the pass rush, and then you look at all those other amazing players, I'm like, look at this roster. And then look at what we did, and look at the kind of quarterback that we have, and look at the kind of plays we made in the biggest moments of the season. And yet, I really don't care that people doubt us. To me, it just shows they don't understand the football. But part of it is branding, right? Is reversing the image. You know, I look at the Bengals history. The current Bengals history is 2.5 or whatever, 3 years old. It starts from Joe Burrow. It's a new era. Everything else you can just throw out. That's my take. But a lot of people want to impose the past on it. So how do you rebrand the Bengals in accordance with this incredible success and incredible talent that they have? How do you get the message out so that people stop taking these outdated shots at us?
Well, I think it starts with following up last season with another great season. You know, I think that, you know, we believe in this team. Almost all of the pieces from last year are back again this year. Out at training camp, that defense looks amazing. I mean, Trey Hendrickson is just a beast. And then you mentioned the other people on the pass rush and the secondary and the linebackers. And so we really think we've got all three phases that are going to be able to help carry these games this season. You know, we know we have a tough schedule that comes with winning the division, 5 primetime games, you know, all kinds of stuff. But I think that this team knows what it takes to get to the Super Bowl, and that's going to drive them this season. And I think that with winning comes more attention and, you know, I think telling more stories. And that's one of the things with the national media is, yes, there is a big focus on a lot of the guys that people know, but there's going to be 53 guys that make this roster and all of them have a great story to tell. And so as we talk through the preseason games getting started, that's the exciting time of this year is on Friday. You're going to see a lot of players that are going to, you know, jump out at you for the first time, perhaps, or guys that are going to be fighting to make this roster. And so I think that's kind of the fun part of this time of year is seeing who else is going to add to the talent that we already know is on the team is really to build out that depth chart starting in preseason.
Yeah. I mean, how do you feel about the bandwagon guys, though? Like people that, because we, Emily, I mean, you're a lot younger than I am, but I mean, you remember those years where it was like, you know, we were just treated as if we were only technically NFL franchise. We didn't deserve to have NFL. You know, this was the kind of rhetoric that was thrown around at us. A lot of hurtful language, but we believed. And actually, perhaps more than anybody, keeping the optimism is our upcoming special guest, Mr. Bengals captain, beautiful man, who's been with this team from the beginning and has always, always, always tried to keep people's spirits up, especially from the beginning of the Zach Taylor time. When we had Zach Taylor, he's like, I believe in this guy and what he's going to do. But it's people like that who really, to me, make this, you know, when, who was it, John, that was recently talking about how great the fan base is? He said, I played for, was it Cam Taylor Britt, right?
Yeah.
And he was blown away by the support. Well, that's who we are. That's who we are. That's who this nation has been, the Houdet Nation. The bandwagon guys, if they're in the area, it's fine. It's fine. But the outsider, you know, I don't know. How do you feel about that? What do you say? What's your message to them?
Hey, the more the merrier. You know, I love when I see videos of little kids doing the gritty out there and wearing their Ja'Marr Chase jerseys and their Joe Burrow jerseys. And I think that's something that we do have with, you know, some of these offensive stars is we have some star power with this team. And I hope that that grows the fan base. You know, I love how much the Cincinnati community came together during the playoff run and we saw what it meant to the greater Cincinnati area. But I think it's, you know, I'm all for growing our fan base and having fans all over the country. I'm very much looking forward to the New Orleans game this year. You know, I think it's fun when we go on the road. We have so many of our great fans that do travel with us. You know, I think we've seen that during the regular season, and it was especially prevalent when we were in Nashville and Kansas City and Los Angeles. And so, you know, for our fans that travel with us on the road, or if we pick up some fans in other cities, I think that's great. Because we love when we hear the cheering and the hootays from, you know, out in the crowd. And I think the more fans we can build around this fan base is great.
Okay. Well, I booked my flights to New Orleans on Sunday morning. So tickets were already bought, was waiting to book the flight. So I have to ask a leak question. So one of the things that I sort of love about our fan base is sometimes how much other fan bases don't like us on social media, because we are delightfully optimistic and I think really supportive, and we're supportive of other fan bases too, and I think sometimes it really just like grinds other people. But I have been obsessed with the Bengals social media, so like starting with that Easter egg video to announce the schedule, and then even the uniform, like in Cap, I know as a internet security person, you got in on like the virus leak for the uniform release. Is there anything you can give us for what something we might see on social media this season that's just gonna maybe be something that brings the fan base together on social, or something we may be able to get to go a little bit viral?
So I think what I'll just say is our content team is extremely talented and they have a lot of fun and exciting things. And for us this year, is kind of, we talked with both social as well as the content that will be in stadium on game day, is we recognize that our season ticket base is larger than it's been. And so that means that a lot of the fans will be coming to all 10 games, and we want to make sure that they feel a new experience at each game. And so that means creating a lot of new content so that they get, you know, a different feel versus seeing the same video 10 times. And so there's a lot of ideas that they're working on. I know that every year we start off the season with a fun and exciting hype video. And I know what that one's going to be about. And I think fans are going to love it. And so I think that, you know, I think the thing with social that's been so successful is there's the really great content that's produced that kind of gives you the chills and tells the stories. But there's also the let's have fun and react to trends and, you know, be willing to kind of just kind of stay with whatever is happening on social and engage. And I think that's what really resonates with fans is, you know, it's something that's relatable and it feels like there's a person behind the account. And I think it's a two-way street where we like to engage and we love what the fans engage with us. And so I think there'll be a lot of fun things that happen this season on the content side.
Well,
that's final, super exciting.
Final question on that, to that point, what kind of content do you think that we could do to best support the team on this show?
Well, I think you guys are doing it. Appreciate you guys having this podcast and having me on. And, you know, I know you got two of our biggest fans coming up and Justin, Captain. And so I think that just continuing to tell stories, talk about the team, get people excited. I think that that's all what our fan base loves, because there's more podcasts out there than ever. So I know you sometimes have to cut through the clutter to get people's attention, but I think it's great with more people talking about the team and just getting excited for the season.
Well, thank you, Emily. Well, I am excited. I was excited last year. You got me excited. You convinced me. And now, I mean, I really don't even know what to do. I mean, with this team, it doesn't feel like it's real. I can't, I'm not, it's hard for me after all the pain I've been through. It is hard for me to accept the reality of this beautiful, beautiful franchise. And I will not be able to attend the games at Paycor. They're out of my price range. But Bridget will, and she's going to tell me all about it. Very excited about that. And John, yeah, any goodbyes to Emily?
Yeah, just shout out to Seth Tanner and Mina Creamer, who Emily was alluding to with the content team. I feel like when Emily said, like, yeah, it does feel like there's a person behind the account that kind of relates to the fans. I feel like they've been just as big of a part of it, just as Emily and her team has been. And just in the past 3 years, it's been a phenomenal renaissance, but Emily has been here for longer than that. And all of her work behind the scenes is kind of attributed to what we're seeing now. So thank you, Emily, for coming on the show and talking with us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and Houday, and excited to get things going in the new Paycor Stadium on Friday.
Thank you. We'd love, Emily, to get you back on, Emily.
All right, thanks, anytime.
Houday.
Okay, see you next week.
See you.
Okay, bye, Emily. Okay.
All right, Daddy-o, I feel like we need to give you a little bit of a break, take a breath. Yeah, you've been talking a lot.
I've barely been talking because we had such a great guest.
Well, she did her part, but you you were really talking.
I had a lot of questions trying to build the Bengals brand. But look, we want to get to Daddy Cares, which is your segment, so I'm going to let you do the talking.
Yeah, that's what I was trying.
She's telling you to shut up, man.
Yeah.
Bridget, politely, you reached out to me. Yeah, and you told me that my good friend, Bengals captain, and his wife, Jess.
You are still talking.
You told me that they're doing some amazing, they did some amazing discoveries and for cancer. And like we talked about Isaac Newton discovering the law of gravity by Apple falling on his head, or even more famously, yes, we have Benjamin Franklin. He invented bifocals from this, you see this mouse here, Amos the mouse, very unexpected way that he made these inventions and these discoveries. The printing press, as you can see, this mouse was involved every step of the way. And then, of course, electricity. And now, of course, they had the falling out. Ben and the mouse, they had a falling out. But eventually, the mouse went a little radical, with a little bit off the rails. But eventually, they had tea, and they worked things out. And then he's in the statue of Benjamin Franklin. But that's a longer story. I just wanted to give you a summary of that. But we have Bengals captain and his wife, Jess, who found, if I'm understanding you correctly, they found a cure for cancer while they were on their bikes. And that is why you are bringing them on the show.
This is why I ask that you please let me talk. I feel like I know Cap and Jess now just from Twitter. I don't think we've actually gotten to meet in person, but I was following along over the weekend on the Pelotonia.
Yep.
Pelotonia. I have a Peloton I got in April of 2020, and I rode it for 52 weeks, and then it's been like just the clothes dryer for the last year, but was really inspired by what you all were doing. No cancer has touched a lot of our lives in a lot of different ways, unfortunately. So wanted to have you all on for this segment to actually have a legitimate Daddy-O Care segment instead of the trash we usually put on. So thank you.
It is your segment, Bridget.
Yes, and you dictate it. So thanks, Jess and Kat, for being on. Do you want to just talk a little bit and obviously introduce yourselves? In my head, I'm like, everybody knows who you are, but introduce yourselves and then talk a little bit about what you were writing for.
Well, it's obvious I'm Kat and she's Jess.
Hello. Yes. Thank you so much for having us on today. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at TheHubay on Twitter and Instagram. He's Bengals captain on Twitter and Instagram. So, but no, thank you guys so much for having us on. So Peloton, yeah, and I hope everyone can hear me okay. I'm obviously a lot farther away from the mic than Cap, but Pelotonia is a ride that they do every year. They've been doing it, I think, 14 years now. And basically you commit to ride a certain number of miles, anywhere from 20 to 200 miles. And your commitment comes with a fundraising goal. So you commit to ride your bike for that long. You also commit to raise that a certain amount of money. And all of the money goes to cancer research, mostly at Ohio State, but I think they sponsor grants, you know, that go beyond Ohio State. So it's mostly through Ohio State. They have there's a James Cancer Hospital at Ohio State where they actually do research on the same floors where they do patient care. So research is very important to them. They are very immersed in the whole cancer experience. And, you know, every day they walk by these patients' rooms, they see their families, they see the patients, and they work really hard on finding these new medications, new drugs. You know, not to get too technical, but I'm really impressed by the way that they can target not only the patient's genetic makeup, but also the genetic makeup of the tumors. So they're doing a lot of research with that and being very specific on how they target different cancers. Because unfortunately, you know, cancer is not one disease. There's not one cure that we're going to find. It's a lot of different diseases that require a lot of like nuanced treatments. And, you know, there's been some great drugs come out lately, and it's just, it's really exciting, all the research that they're doing. So it was something that I was really happy to do. Like you, Bridget, we got a Peloton bike and we've been riding it for about a year now. And so I kind of felt ready, like I was ready to ride, that I was ready to commit to riding. You know, we committed to ride 57 miles. So that's what we did. And it was a good time.
Yeah, my company is a huge sponsor. Our team was the number one fundraiser. So I've been donating to Pelotonia, different people who've been fundraising for years. Never in my life thought I would want to ride until, yeah, we got the Peloton, and it's a blast. We skipped the 20-mile, went straight for 57. I was worried about dying because I did not properly train, basically three rides until I decided to do the 57. I'm here, thankfully. So we did survive. And the day of, I got a lot of great people on Twitter, you know, retweeting. I'm trying to put an Xbox up for a raffle. So we got a lot of additional donations coming in because of that the day of the ride. That is still, people can still donate to Pelotonia up through October.
October 1st, yeah, and we both have a long way to go to meet our fundraising goals. So,
but absolutely, we've met survivors, we rode past survivors. They had, you know, a lot of them had special jerseys you could see. Hearing some of the stories, it's just, you know, I've unfortunately lost most of my family to either lung cancer, esophageal cancer. You know, it's been a really horrible disease in my family. She's got a lot of ribbons that she made for people. So we're happy to do what we can to help.
Yeah, this is my helmet that I wore during the ride, and I made a ribbon for all of my immediate family members who've had cancer. And black is for skin cancer, so that's both my sisters, my dad, and my grandpa. Pink is obviously breast cancer. I think most people know that one. So that's my grandma and two of my aunts. Well, I'm sorry, one of my aunts and one of my good friends, one of my best friend's parents. And then white is for lung cancer. So that's Jeremy's dad and my good friend's dad. And then teal is for ovarian cancer, and that's my grandma and one of my aunts. So, you know, it meant a lot to me to kind of put their names on these ribbons and represent. And I actually got a lot of compliments on it. So even though I could hear like part of them, I could hear them like flapping in the wind. So it probably was not like the best idea from a technical standpoint. But a lot of people liked it. And I saw a lot of people with ribbons on. So, you know, it's a really important cause to a lot of people. I think everyone, like you said, everyone's lives have been touched by cancer. So it's something that is near and dear to a lot of people's hearts.
They've raised over $250 million for cancer research since the inception.
That's incredible. And you two do so much for the Bengals community. And I know you're always trying to amplify causes. Cap, you mentioned the organization that I actually work for, not the sham that I don't get paid to be a part of. So appreciate that shout out. So kudos to both of you. And we'll make sure to amplify that and make sure that we can get more towards cancer research. But Jess, I know you, we went way over time, surprise, surprise. And you were just able to join, but I am curious, like Daddy-O said, you two are these voices of optimism in the Houdé Nation. And so Cap, you were listening in, I think, to a lot of what Emily had to say. What are you two most excited? I mean, we are on the eve of the first preseason game, or the eve of the eve of the eve, whatever. It's the week of the first preseason game. And so for me, that feels like the season is now about ready to start. What are you two most looking forward to or about this season?
I'm looking forward to picking up where we left off. You know, Emily, I thank her a million times over because what, 5, 6, 7 years ago, I had a conversation with her and she told me a lot of the things that they wanted to do that they're actually doing. So they wanted to do it. The plan's been in place. All the pieces fit together. Emily's been a huge, huge part of that. All I did was listen. My optimism comes from listening to very, very smart, talented people who are very good at their job tell me the truth. So that part was easy. But last year, the team took a lot of people by surprise, not us. And we expect to build on that and many, many, many Lombardis in our future.
I'm honestly excited for the fans to be all in. I feel like even at the start of last year, there were questions about Zach. There were questions about the team. There were questions about a lot of things. I mean, was Joe Burrow going to stay healthy? I mean, there were so many question marks in people's minds. And I don't think people truly believed yet at the beginning of last season. So I'm really excited for people to kind of be like bought in from the start this year. And I just feel like the jungle is going to be that much more electric because of that. You know, I will never forget the feeling of that playoff game against the Raiders. I mean, that was just the most amazing energy. And to think that we've sold out season tickets now, I feel like that energy is going to be there every single week. Doesn't matter who we're playing. It doesn't matter, you know, what's going on. I really feel like the fans are going to really bring the energy this year because finally they've got a team that's fun to root for and something that they can believe in. So that's really important to me. Okay.
I'm all pumped up. Let's go.
I know, we're ready. Daddy has got my tickets for Friday because I am going to my best friend's wedding this weekend in Michigan. So I will not be there, but won't miss anything else. Daddy-O, John, anything? I know it's well into the evening on this Tuesday evening, but while we've got Bengals fan royalty, anything else?
Well, I was very touched by that entire discussion.
You don't have feelings.
I think it's a good cause.
Daddy-O, talk to me about tickets. I might have some tickets for you.
Wow. Okay. This
now he's got feelings.
A lot more interesting. Yeah.
Wow. He'll feel whatever now. You want him to emotional cry.
Let me just say, Captain has helped us so much with this show, with the technical side of the show. We are DMing each other. Don't worry, Jess. It's not that kind of DMs, but we are constantly communicating. I'm getting advice.
Sliding, I mean,
that's a handsome man. What are you gonna do? That mustache.
I know.
Daddy-O is cute. No.
But he's always giving us advice for how to improve the show technically and how to, keep the hackers out and the bots and all the, there's a lot of people trying to, yeah, I mean, the domain, I mean, our basically our ranking number one, that was very expensive to get that. But oh, yeah, but Captain,
it's worth money.
I would say, I do believe that Captain did see the vision earlier than other people. And it could have been because he was, you know, hacking into the computers and getting the information, like he said. Or it could just be, I think it's just because, I think that partly, to be fair, you identified the kind of leader that Zach Taylor is, and you identified the change in management as well. And obviously Joe Burrow. I mean, I was in on Joe Burrow. From immediately I knew Joe Burrow could do his part. But I mean, let's be fair, Andrew Luck was maybe not a Joe Burrow, but he was that type of quarterback.
Yeah, but Joe Burrow makes it easy. Yeah. But
Joe Burrow makes it easy, but you need the other parts. Yeah, yeah.
Zach is my kind of leader. Zach is the leader that I have worked to be in all of my leadership positions throughout my life. You know, some of the books that he's mentioned, you know, hearing what I've heard about him. Yeah, absolutely. The kind of guy that I would take a bullet for. And hearing inside the locker room, a lot of guys felt that way. So Willie Anderson even made a post on Instagram that, you know, he recently could see, he spent time with him. He could see why the guys played so hard for him. Anything good, Willie said, that has happened to him, Zach has given him a call to congratulate him.
Yeah,
absolutely amazing.
But he's
honoring our legends like we want them honored at Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Let us remember the first man who congratulated him after his very first victory. Is this man right here. This man on our show right here, Captain, was the first man to touch Zach Taylor after he won his first game. And that
maybe
started it
first,
all.
But
again, just not that kind of touching. But you know what I'm saying.
I was there, okay?
Okay. Yeah. All right, well,
you left me hanging, but that's okay.
Daddy, before we end the show, I have to say, because I told you all not to let me forget this, today is my dad's 68th birthday. I was going to have him on the show, but he, like, doesn't have Zoom, and he's going to be on an iPad, and he's that kind of guy who, like, FaceTimes or Zooms, and just his forehead is showing. And I'm like, we can't have that. So can we all just say, his name's Ken. Happy birthday, Ken. He loves the show.
Ken. Great name. Happy
the
birthday,
show loves
Ken.
You.
Yes.
Thank you.
He's a Lions fan, but Bengals are his very
happy birthday, Ken.
Team. And he came to the very first preseason game with me last year, and then he was with me at Paul Brown Stadium, now Paycor Stadium, for the Kansas City game. And he, just to see him in that, like, Bengals fandom was amazing. And he loves this dumb show for a reason I can't figure out. So happy birthday, Dad. Yeah. We love you.
We love
you. Happy birthday, Ken.
Thank you. All right. And we also love our patrons, guys. We love our patrons. They're very special people, very smart people. And they have birthdays, too.
I am a subscriber.
Yes, he is. One of our very first. He is one of our first patrons.
Bless you, Cap.
Thank you. And so long show, so I won't take too much time with that. But patreon.com/DHSports or winnow.app/DHSports, where you can get voice messages from John. You can get John, basically late night. He will send you things to kind of calm you, or maybe to excite you, or I don't know, John. Yeah. But all sorts of stuff.
It has gotten weird.
Yeah. But okay. Well, Mr. Bengals Captain and Jess, Mrs. Jess Captain, thank you for coming on the show. And
always
a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having us. Yes. Thank you.
And for John Mathis Sheeran and HR, I'm Dedio McDo. Don't forget to subscribe, turn on notifications, leave comments about the stuff we asked you during the show. And go to the number one Bengals podcast on Bleav. And we will be back next week. Perhaps a new day. We'll see.
I think Jess and Kat both have podcasts too.
That's right.
Subscribe to Tigers Talk.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all we have.
Tigers Talk.
See you next time. So long, sweetie. Bye.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.